the taking away of sin. Kindly notice these verses. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Hebrews 10 verse 12. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10 verse 14. The law given to Moses prescribed many sacrifices. The one of special value was a once-a-year offering on the Day of Atonement. If these sacrifices had been able to pacify conscience, they would not have ceased. Hebrews 10, verses 1 and 2. They had, however, the very opposite effect. They brought sin to remembrance every year. The only sacrifice which could effectually remove sin and blot it out was our Lord's sacrifice of himself on Calvary's cross. He alone is God's appointed Lamb of sacrifice, accepted of God for that end. Now notice the conditions for taking away of sin. The matter is of great importance. The blood of bulls and goats could not effect this. But sin had to be taken away if man was to be saved and restored to God. If God were to allow sin to go unpunished, his own honor would be lost. The eternal death of the sinner was necessary to clear the holy character of God. How then could salvation of sinful man harmonize with the holy character of God? The answer is that sin must be put away. But the blood of bulls and of goats could not do this. Thus it was that God sent his beloved Son to do what none other could do, and sent him forth to be the propitiation for our sins, and so to be the Savior of the world. First, the Lord Jesus was made subject to the law of God when he came into our humanity. The law of God was first written on the tables of men's hearts. It demanded obedience. A creature must obey his creator. God cannot be save on the throne of rule over his created one. Death, eternal death, was the penalty of transgression, to be banished, to be shut out from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Adam proved a tottering reed, and the command given to test him was broken. Only one simple test, and he failed the test. From him, all the human race receives the spirit of disobedience. That is why we go astray from the womb, as David said. To save man, God could not relax the requirements of his holy law. For the law of the Lord is perfect, and death is the righteous penalty of broken law. But in the fullness of time, we read that God sent forth his Son, made under the law. Galatians 4 and verse 4. He came under his own law and kept the whole of it intact. You remember in the Old Testament that when Moses brought the commandments down from the presence of God, God had written those commandments on tables of stone, that when Moses looked over the camp of Israel and saw that they had broken every one of them, he flung them down and smashed them to bits, because every one of them had been already broken. But when God gave the law the second time, the tables of the law were put in the ark, a symbol of Christ, and they were never broken in the ark. Thus, our Lord proved the law by keeping the law and not breaking a single commandment of the law. The Lord proved that the law of God was honorable, holy, just, and good. Secondly, he bore the penalty of broken law. Death passed upon all men, so that in Adam all die. All generations being in the loins of Adam, therefore affected by the sin of Adam. Like poison put into the well head. But taking our sins away was the work for which the Son of God was born in Bethlehem and lived on earth and died on Calvary and descended into the grave and rose again from the dead and mounted to heaven. And the reason why he now sits on the right hand of God. By such, our Lord became surety for the guilty. In his sufferings and death, the law was magnified, and the penalty it imposed was fully paid. Thus the law can no longer accuse those that are in Christ. Thirdly, our Lord fulfilled the whole law. Man had dishonored God's law. It was necessary, therefore, that man should fulfill all its righteousness before God could restore him to favor. This too was accomplished in God's dear Son. Thus he is able not only to take away sin, but also to clothe the sinner with his own perfect righteousness. This is the robe of righteousness which now covers a true believer. It is this which beautifies and adorns his naked soul. And it is like a wedding garment to unite him to God's dear Son forever. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6. This mediation, this channel of communication, is founded on the work of atonement. The Lord Jesus is able to bring us to God because he gave himself a ransom for all. His blood has purchased us and delivered us from hell. His righteousness buys all heaven and clothes us to stand in heaven perfect before God. His righteousness is the only robe fit for such a holy place. All his redeemed ones are made beauteous in his holiness. All shine in purity. All are white in spotless perfection. The eye of God rests on each believer with pure delight. He finds no blemish in them. They are counted worthy to sit on thrones of glory. Finally, notice the consolation in the taking away of sin. The consolation of believers rests in our Lord's eternal priesthood. In Hebrews 10 and verse 10 we see believers are sanctified or set apart The means to effect that separation is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, a sacrifice done once for all. The writer of the Hebrews goes on to show that the priests of Jewry stood daily and offered the same sacrifices. The reason for the repetition was that the blood of bulls and of goats could not take away sin. But our Lord's sacrifice was once for all and forever. After which, he sat down on the right hand of God in token of redemption completed. There is need in salvation for the sinner to have his sins remitted and his heart cleansed. And this can be effected only through the sacrifice of Christ. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. Acts 10, verse 43. His remission is everlasting. There is, through our Lord, not only pardon of sin, but moral cleansing. Without this, we would return to folly, and it would be impossible to do that and still keep God's favor. He therefore sanctifies those who are forgiven. Finally, under the old dispensation, there were altars, priests, sacrifices. The Holy Spirit thus signifies that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Hebrews 9 and verse 8. That sin had not been taken away. But in this new dispensation, we need no altar, no priest, no sacrifices. The Holy Spirit signifying by this change that sin has been taken away and is never to be remembered. That is, no altar but Christ, no priest but Christ, no sacrifice but Christ. How true, how blessedly true. Listen to the words of Horatius Bonner. No blood, no altar now, the sacrifice is o'er. No flame, no smoke ascends on high, the lamb is slain no more. But richer blood has flowed from nobler vein, to purge the soul from guilt and cleanse the reddest stains. We thank thee for the blood of Christ thy Son, the blood by which our peace is made, our victory is won. Great victory o'er hell and sin and woe, that needs no second fight and leaves no second fall. We thank thee for the grace descending from above, that overflows our widest guilt. The eternal Father's love, love of the Father's everlasting Son, love of the Holy Ghost, to Jehovah, three in one. We thank thee for the hope, so glad and sure and clear. It holds the drooping spirit up till the long dawn appear. Fair hope, with what a sunshine does it cheer our roughest path on earth, our dreariest desert here. We thank thee for the crown of glory and of life. 'Tis no poor withering wreath of earth, man's prize in mortal strife. 'Tis incorruptible as is the throne, the kingdom of our God and his incarnate Son. Amen and amen.